the little sister over at Union Church, Sister Jill Lavoy, that I failed to mention. She had a scope done, and they found in her colon a malignant tumor. And she's going to have some tests done to find out more about that this week and which direction things are going to be. But she, I know, would appreciate your prayers on her behalf, so please keep her in your prayers. I know when we offered prayer, the Lord knew that already and heard that prayer, Brother Mike, and I thank the Lord for that. And even on her behalf, even though we had failed to mention it and to let you know about it, he knew about it already and supplied just what we need. And I thought your scripture, what you shared with us, is absolutely true. He's working in our lives way ahead of where we are, and in unseen ways that you and I often never get to see. I personally, you know, think that when we get home to glory, one of the wonderful things will be to see all that he really has done for us in our lives. And by that I mean not that we would be reminded of this world or have any of those thoughts come back into our minds in a negative way. But the things that we'll know about, I believe, in heaven, about this world, is how many times and how wonderful each and everything that the Lord did for us was. And we can't handle that now. You know, the more we know about it now, the better we'll feel, the more peace you'll have in your life to recognize how good the Lord's really been to you. The more you know about it, the more comfort, the more love, the more you'll feel his mercy and his grace, and the more at rest you'll be about your circumstances, no matter where you are. But we can't get all of that. We can't begin to know the God that knew us even before the foundation of the world and formed and fashioned us in our mother's womb and has watched over us as we grew up, even as a little one, and down through our early years and then our teenage years and then up to this point and stage or wherever you are in your life. That's the kind of God he's been there all along. He didn't just show up when we saw him or looked to him. As a matter of fact, if we've ever seen him or looked to him, that's evidence that he was already there before we ever did anything, because if he had not worked a work of grace in us, we would have no desire or ability to see him or know him. We wouldn't be interested in the things of God. And everything that happened to Brother Mike, Sister Diana, and all of us this week, you know, we all got that same story, the same truth to tell, that the Lord has taken care of us. He's been right there, and he is, every day. Sometimes as we're complaining, he's taking care of us. Sometimes when it doesn't work out in our timing, in our schedule, when we think things are messing up, the Lord's working. Slowing us down, speeding us up, helping us along, taking care of us, where we may be fussing and feuding and pulling along the way. We're not enjoying our fellowship with him when we do that, but he nonetheless loves us, and he chastens us, he corrects us, he brings us through situations and things for his name's sake to guide us and direct us and help us grow as his children. And I just pray that we'll realize that a little more when we leave here tonight, that we're a little more mindful of it this week, that as we go out in this old world and even turn on the television and hear some bad news, that we won't be overwhelmed by that, but recognize that we've got a God who's exceedingly abundantly able to do above anything we can ask or think, and that he's on his throne tonight. And he's in control. Me saying that doesn't put him on his throne. He's already there. But it sure helps us to be reminded of it. I hope I can stir you up with that thought tonight. That our God, who loves us, is on his throne and he's taking care of us. In all of our life and in all of our situations. And he knows tonight what everyone here needs, as well as the ones that are visibly here and present physically, as well as the ones that are online. He knows the needs of every one of his children. We have scripture before us tonight that will certainly prove that to us. When we open our Bibles and read from the Word of God, we're reading the inspired Word of God. We're reading of Thus Saith the Lord. We're reading what the Lord has left on record for us. And I'm thankful tonight that we don't have to hunt and peck through the scriptures to find out what the true parts and the parts that aren't true, or the correct parts and the parts that are incorrect, or speculate about whether we want this part or that part. Men do that. And even God's children can get wrapped up in doing that. But tonight I hope you're convinced. Hope I don't have to convince any of you tonight that what we have before us is the Word of God. It's God's inspired Word. It's been given by inspiration of God. It's been kept by God and kept by His power. It's as pure words tried. They're tried words. They're words that God's little children have lived their lives by down through the ages. And no one who's ever followed the Word of God has messed up. It's not when we're following His Word that we mess up. It's when we fail to follow His Word and we walk in disobedience. So tonight, may we read the Word of God, recognizing that it's speaking to us, and that it's for us, and that it's to guide us, to lead us, and to guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit does that, but He uses His Word to guide us, and we're to use this Word as the authority for what we do in our church practice and in our practical life as we live in this world. If we want to please the Lord, we're going to have to hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Bible, and then we're not only to be hearers of the Word, but we're to be doers of the Word. The Lord gives us the ability to know, and then He gives us the strength to walk in that which He has taught us. And may the Lord bless us to do that better as we go out into this world, even from this meeting. I'd like to read to you tonight from a passage that I read some from today, Hebrews chapter 4. And if you have your Bibles and like to turn with me, I'd like to begin reading in verse 9 tonight. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. There is some discussion among even our primitive Baptist brethren who the author of the book of Hebrews was. Some believe it's someone else other than the Apostle Paul. Some believe it's Paul. Really what I believe about it is about as valuable as what others believe about it. That's a viewpoint that they might have. Some make this argument or that argument, but I know good brethren who believe both ways, and I love them all. Little brother Danny Parker, when I'm talking to him sometimes, I'll ask him what he believes about something, and he'll say, well, this was what my one brother says, and this is what the other brother says. And I said, well, brother Danny, what do you believe? And he said, I agree with my friends, is what he, brother Danny's quick. He said, I agree with my friends, which kind of puts him right where I stay with a lot of this, you know. What's really important is that it's part of God's inspired Word, isn't it? That's what's important about it. It's part of that canon of Scripture that we call the Bible, that is written by inspiration of God, and God moved men to write it and pin it down. It's the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so by the inspiration of God, I'm thankful tonight that we have the book of Hebrews for us. The book of Hebrews tells us about a better covenant, about a better way, about the gospel dispensation, about the wonderful day and age in which we're living, about the wonderful high priest and savior we have in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that he is all that the Bible says that he is, using many passages from the Old Testament and pointing to them in a sense that it shows Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of those passages in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and His death and His burial and His resurrection and His ascension to God on high. And tonight we have a Savior who's on high, that when Brother Mike prayed, we can be assured that his prayers were heard, because there's a Savior on the right hand of the Father making intercession for every little lamb and every little sheep that offers up a prayer unto God. God hears the prayers of His children because of the intercession that's made for them by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I will go as far to say tonight that if there wasn't a Savior seated on the right hand of the Father in heaven, not a single prayer from a single man would ever be heard. Because there's only one way to approach the Lord, and that is through His darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. No man can come to me, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. He also said, no man can come unto the Father but through the Son. And no man can come to the Son but by the Father. And so if it was not for the Son of God, seated on the right hand of the Father, every prayer that I'd ever offered in my life would, first of all, I would have not offered them, because it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to offer them. It takes the work of grace to offer them. It takes a work of redemption and a work of God's grace in order to give me the want to pray and the ability to pray and the words to pray. We don't know how to pray without the Lord. How important is prayer to you tonight? I hope it's really important. Just think what it's meant to you in your life. Think of when you've lost a loved one, what a peace it was to be able to just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't even know what to ask for, but just comfort me. And to feel like He hears you and He's there. To be in a place where you just don't know why you feel better, but you do feel better because He provides for you what you ask for in giving me peace and to be help me be at peace. Tonight, I don't know where you are, but I know this. God's little children get disturbed in this world, and they get their rest messed up in this world, and they have lots of sorrow and distress. And as we read this morning, the psalmist said, out of the depths have I cried unto the Lord. And you can be in the depths tonight, but you can still cry unto the Lord. And I got Jonah in the belly of the whale this morning, and I never got him out. You know, and I'll tell you what, if Jonah was dependent on me, he still wouldn't be out. You know, but I left him there. The Bible didn't leave him there. Jonah was in the depths and cried out to the Lord, and he said, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord delivered Jonah even when he was in the depths. Somebody said, how did he get there? His disobedience drove him there. His rebellion from God drove him there. His non-willingness to listen to what God told him to do. And he wanted to do it his way, wanted to go his way, do his thing, act like he wanted to act. And sometimes you and I think that we have that right in this world. You know, I belong to Him. That means He owns me. I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. And that price wasn't a small price. It wasn't a few shillings. It wasn't just a little bit of money. It wasn't all the money in this world either. More valuable than if you had all the money in this world. All the gold in Fort Knox. All the riches of the richest man that ever dwelled on the face of the earth. I'm telling you, the value of your soul that the Lord paid for took His blood and His life. He loved you that much that He said, that's my child, and I'm not going to allow anything to separate me from my child, and I'm sending the very best, my darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Son willingly came and died on the cross that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. That means He gave you a life to live, and He gave you a life to live a good life. Not a messed up life. Not a life that is trouble-free, but a life that allows you in the midst of the trouble to find peace and rest in the storm. And you may be in the middle of that storm tonight. I don't know where you are. I don't know where your heart is. I don't know what's going on in your head. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. We sang that hymn, I don't know about tomorrow, but I do this. I do know this. He holds tomorrow, doesn't He? And whatever comes, I've got a God greater than any problem I'm going to face. I've got a God who's proven He loves me more than anything that I can imagine or know about, more than I can handle tonight. That's how great His love has been for me. And I believe His love has been for you. You know how I believe that? Because y'all were singing like that tonight. You were singing. You were thanking the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. and what he's done for you. And you're here tonight. You're here to thank him. You're here to praise him. You're here to hear more about him. And here in Hebrews 4 and verse 9, he says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I'm thankful that passage is in the Bible. I believe you are too tonight. That tells me we have a reason to be able to get down on our knees and look to the Lord and lean upon the Lord, because there's a Lord who's there who hears our prayers. It tells us why he hears our prayers. It lets us know that we can be assured he hears our prayers. It lets us know that he already understands whether you get every word right, whether you get it all out or not, whether you are able to express yourself. Sometimes I get frustrated when I'm trying to express myself. Even in the pulpit, I'll get frustrated when I have a point that I want to make and the words don't seem to come. Or I'm trying to explain something and I just can't say it the way I want to say it. And I really sometimes get frustrated when I'm in a prayer to the Lord and I can't really say what's really bothered me. But I find great comfort tonight to know that he already knows. And whether I can speak it or not, the scripture tells me that he makes intercession for us, even with heart groanings in the person of the Holy Spirit, that I can't even utter. And the Lord knows my needs before I ask, and he finds, and as we look to him for just what we need tonight, here's the assurance: wherever you are tonight, whatever you're going through with, whatever is coming tomorrow, whatever you feel about it, whatever you think about it, God is the one who holds tomorrow, and he's going to be right there in the midst of the storm. One day we're going to leave this old world, which means sometime or another things aren't going to go too good down here for a little while. But it's just for a little while, which means sometimes sickness may come and even death will come. Listen, it didn't may come. If the Lord tarries, death will come. It will come. When sin is finished in our lives and in our bodies, it bringeth forth death. But here's the good news. We've got one who's a victor over death, hell, and the grave. We've got one who conquered death. We have one who said, "I came and I gave. No man took my life. I gave my life. And I had the power to give it, and I have the power to take it up again." You know what that means? Death holds no power for our Savior. He conquered death. What that means for his children, that death is already conquered for us. And so the moment we die, we don't really die in the sense of being completely separated from him. It just means that death for us is just a separation for the soul and the spirit from the body for a little while. And it really isn't even, that separation is really just right away. We're immediately, with the moment of death, that death means the body and the soul and the spirit is separated from the body, but that soul and spirit immediately goes into the presence of the Lord. Immediately. Right away. No soul sleeping. No burying it in the ground, waiting for it to come forth, waiting for the resurrection. Yes, the body goes into the ground because the Lord bought the body along with the soul and the spirit. And one day, he's coming to get that body. But at the moment of death, the soul and spirit goes into the very presence of the Lord. You and I can be consoled about that. Many times we think, what's the worst thing that could happen to us in this world? And we usually label that death. But that for the little child of God is, O death, he says, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory. Thanks be to God, there is no victory in death with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And He is our high priest, and He is our one, the one that we look to. And tonight you and I ought to be resting, not troubled, not concerned, not upset, but resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as heaven and immortal glory is concerned, whether you're resting tonight or not, you will, if you're a little child of grace, enter into that rest with him. Whether you understand the gospel, whether you understand that Jesus died for you, if you belong to him, he loved you, and nothing's going to separate you from him. But in this time world, we need the rest as we live here day by day. I need rest today. Don't you? I need to be at peace today. And if I'm going to really glorify Him and praise Him, then I'm going to be in that place where the Scripture says He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Him. That's why tonight we just want to remind you of Him. Many of you may be thinking, well, I heard you preach this before, Brother Gary. Well, I hope you're going to hear it again. And I hope we stir one another up again about this. That we have a mighty Savior, a wonderful Savior, a loving Savior that loved you enough that He died on the cross. And He's provided for you tonight a church and a place where the Word of God is preached and taught. Where you can sit and listen and hear the wonderful good things the Lord did for you. And He did it for all of His children. But I'm telling you, His love for you was just as special and just as real as if you were the only one. That's how much He loved you. Jesus would have come if you'd have been the only one. You're not the only one, thanks be to God. There's an innumerable company out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people. He says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. This verse tells us that there is the people of God. There, God has people. God has made choice of His people. This verse says and identifies them as the people of God. Not everybody is a child of God. Not everybody is one of His children. Not everybody is one of His chosen. But the Bible tells us that there are people that are chosen and made His people by His power and by His might and what He's done. They're the people of God, not because they did something. They're the people of God because He made them His people. The Bible tells us that. You turn over quickly with me to Psalm 100. You'll read there the verse that says it very clearly and plainly. There are many other verses that could be used, but for time's sake, we'll look at this one. He says in Psalm 100, for us to do just what we did tonight, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And it didn't mean you had to sing right on pitch, right on key, right on time. It means you lift up your voice, whatever ability you have in the Lord, do the very best you can, and you lift up your voice and open up your mouth and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You tell Him how good and how wonderful and how great He is, and you'll never outdo what He is. You'll never reach the place where you've said too much or done too much. If you start talking about your family, you can do that pretty quick. If you start talking about any member, the best member in the church, you might do that pretty quick. If you talk about the best preacher you ever heard, you might do that very quick. But I'm telling you, when you're talking about the Lord, you can't brag too much. You can't say too much. You can just keep on talking about how good and how wonderful He is and say, at the end of that, the half hadn't yet been told about the greatness of our God, the goodness of our God, the mercy of our God, the love of our God, the justice of our God, and all that He is. We can't say enough about Him. As the hymn writer just said, how great they are, because you can't tell how great He is. Just, isn't it wonderful? We don't have a little God tonight. You know how many people that have a little God tonight? They're trusting in a little God. They're trusting in a God that wants to help them but can't help them.
They're trusting in a God that can't do anything unless you let Him. That you have to be His hands and you have to be His feet. I've heard that over and over preached out in the world, that if God didn't have hands to move, He couldn't move. And if He didn't have feet to walk, He couldn't walk. I'm telling you, that's not a God who's really a God. That's an idol. The idol has a mouth and can't speak. The idol has eyes and can't see. The idol has ears and can't hear. The idol has hands and can't move. The idol has feet and can't walk. He's got to be carried. He's got to be dusted off. He's got to be helped out. You've got to get a collection going and enough money together in order to get anything done, because He can't do anything. And I'm telling you, that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is the one in the beginning of the time who said, "Let there be light," and the light came on. The God of the Bible is the one who created the heavens and the earth. The God of the Bible is the one who brought the sun up this morning. And tonight, that moon will be in the sky. The stars will be there, the work of His fingers. And His handiwork is all around us. And that God of the Bible is the one who protected Brother Mike, Sister Diana on a vacation. And every one of us, every day of our lives, whether we recognize it or not. How many of you are thinking about keeping your heart beating right now? I'm not, unless it starts missing a beat. That's when I start thinking about it. I go like, what can I do to make it be on time? You know what I've discovered? Nothing. Can't do one thing. I can't make it tick. I can't make it slow down. I can't make it speed up. Sometimes you say, well, just relax. And you can just relax and slow it down. Have you ever tried just to relax? You ever focused on? And somebody said, just don't focus on anything. Well, that's a good way to get your head filled with a bunch of stuff. Just empty it. And the old devil's sitting right there, ready. Some people said, just meditate. Think about nothing. Just don't think about anything. I'm telling you, don't go there. That's a dangerous place for a little child of God to go. The world would like you to go there. Don't do that, little child of grace. You know what you can do to find some peace and some rest? The Bible tells us what to do. Let my mind and my heart be what? Stayed on Him. And He'll do what? He'll keep me in perfect peace. The old battle is, I've got old Gary that wants to do other stuff. And you got whatever that old man, that old woman is that you have to contend with, and all your genetics run down that line. It comes right down there. You got that from your mama and from your daddy and from your, that old nature. That old nature that we have to battle. Isn't it good to know tonight, though, that we have a Lord who made us His people? Because if He had not made us His people, there wouldn't be any people. None of us would have chosen Him. None of us would have gone to Him. But here's what He says. Let's get to the verse. Verse 1 says, make a joyful noise unto the land, unto the Lord, all ye lands. Verse 2 says, to serve the Lord with gladness. I hope you're here tonight because you want to be. I hope you're here not because it was just Sunday night and you had that obligation and that duty. I will say this, you do have that obligation and you do have that duty. If you're the Lord's child, He has called you not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. He's called us to separate ourselves from the world and to gather as a people of God to worship the Lord in the house of the Lord. He's called us to do that. But I'm telling you, we're not to just do that out of duty. We're to do that out of gladness. In other words, if we're just showing up tonight in order we can check that box that I showed up, is that for the Lord? Is that for us? That's not true service. Tonight I ought to want to be here because I love Him. And I love Him because He first loved me. And He's been good to me. He's protected my family. He's helped my little children grow up now to be older kids. And now I'm looking at my grandchildren and I'm praying, Lord, protect my little granddaughter as she's in this old world and so much around her. Protect my littlest granddaughter as she's just growing up and just, you know, around home. I worry more about the older one than I do the little one. Because the older one's in a lot more precarious place. When you got them little babies at home, you feel like you got a little bit of control about where they are and what they're doing, even though sometimes you really messed up about that. But when they start getting away a little bit, And you wonder, where are they going and what they're doing? You say, what am I going to do about that? Well, you know how much we can do about that? Not much. But we can do something. Let me tell you what we can do. We can get on our knees. We can say, Lord, protect my children. Lord, protect my family. Lord, protect my church brethren. Lord, be with my brother and my sister as they're going through problems. Lord, be with our little children out there and bring them to the place where they can hear this gospel that has meant so much to me, so that they can find that rest that I found. I know they won't miss heaven in immortal glory. You know how many of God's children are going to miss heaven? Not one. Not a single one. But many of them miss the blessings you're having tonight and just being able to rest in the Lord. I hope you're resting in the Lord. Listen, you can't take care of your grandchildren, but the Lord can. You can't take care of your children, but the Lord can. You can't take care of your mama or your daddy, but the Lord can. But the Lord is the one who's in control. Isn't it good to know that He's in control tonight and not us? And that's true whether I say it or not, but I'm glad to say it. And I want you to believe it. I don't want to just say it and then not care whether you believe it. I want you to believe it. I'm like the scripture that says right here, let us therefore fear. This is the first verse of the fourth chapter. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Let us fear that we come short of that by disbelieving the Lord and going in unbelief, which is nothing but rebellion and disobedience. It is that reason that Jonah was in the belly of the whale. But you know, the Lord had preparations for Jonah even when he messed up. Isn't it good to know that God just didn't say, well, he messed up, sorry, he blew it. Jonah just blew it. No, the Lord had a preparation for him. I'm going to get him out the belly of the whale. Jonah was swallowed up by that great fish, that whale that was prepared. The Bible calls it a great fish and a whale. I'll take both. That's what it says, and it goes on, and he says, when Jonah cried out, salvation is of the Lord, I'm telling you, that whale took him right where he should have been going anyway and spit him out on dry land. I'll guarantee you that old boy looked like something after being in the gastric juices inside of that whale. I don't know what they did to him, but I'm sure that was an impact on him physically. He probably could look in the mirror and say, I've been somewhere. And I don't want to go back. Have you been there? Lord, I don't want to go back. I want to be obedient. I want to listen to you. I don't want to walk in rebellion. I got an old flesh that's prone to wander, the hymn writer said. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Somebody say, how could that be? A little child of God has that old nature in us that wants its way. Take my heart, the hymn writer said, take and seal it. Seal it for that courts above. That's what I desire, Lord. Let me be willing and obedient in the day of thy power. Let me be willing. I thank God for that. He says, serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. And here's the verse I wanted to get to. I want to make sure we get to. He says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. That's something I want us to recognize tonight. The Lord that we serve is God. He's not a little God. The Jesus we serve is the Word of God. He was with God in the beginning and was God. I'm in Psalm 100 and verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us. Hear that. It is He that hath made us. And in case we missed it, he goes on and it says, and not we ourselves. You know how many people tonight that are God's little children think they made themselves God's little children by either signing a name on a tract or by responding to a prayer that they were given, or by joining a church, or walking in some waters of baptism, or being sprinkled on their head when they were babies, or many other ways and many other methodologies out there. But Jesus said what? He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the door. No one enters in but by me. And the fact is, For his children, he gave his life for his sheep, and every one of his sheep will come to him without the loss of one, and they will all be called, and they all are justified in his shed blood, and one day they will be glorified and with him in immortal glory, heaven and immortal glory, and there won't be one missing when he says, "Behold, I and the children that thou hast given me." He won't say, "I miss Sammy or George or Jill or anyone else." He'll have everyone that he knew in covenant before the foundation of the world, because our God is God. He didn't try to do it. He didn't want to do it. He did it. And he didn't ask my permission or yours or see if it was okay with us first. If he had, we would all rejected him, because the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Now, that's a God you can rest in tonight, right? That's a God you can trust when you go to that CT scan. That's a God who can take care of me when August comes and I need to go have a test. It's pretty easy when you tell the other little sister how to trust in him. But when it comes to us, sometimes the battle gets a whole lot harder. And when it comes to our family especially, and we know they've got an appointment and they've got something that's around the bend, and you don't know what they might be going through. It's a great consolation tonight to be able to get down on my knees and say, "Lord, take care." And whatever way the report comes back, I know he's going to be with us in the midst of the storm and in the midst of the trial, and he will take care of you, because that's the God who's going to carry us to heaven one day. But that doesn't mean everything's going to work out like you wanted it to. Sometimes that's what I want. Just, "Lord, do it this way. Lord, work it out this way. I want it fixed this way." The world sometimes will get discontent with God because he doesn't do it their way. You know what God would do if he did it our way? He'd mess up. And God's not going to mess up. God does it his way because his way is the right way. His way is so much better than our way, as high as the heavens are above the earth. I'm glad God didn't save us our way, because our way wouldn't have been anyway. We would have been lost. He saved us in his own good, in his own according to his own purpose and according to his own grace, and he didn't miss a one of his children, nor will he. And that kind of God you can trust in tonight, and you can depend upon, and when you do that, you will be at peace no matter what the circumstances. We sing a lot of hymns that say that over and over again in a lot of different ways. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. It may be poverty. Sometimes when we look at the price of gas and everything, the way things are going, it looks like that could well be for any of us any time, poverty. But I'll tell you, the Lord's surely been good to us up to this point, hadn't he? And do you think we the ones that have kept our boat afloat up to this point? If you do, we're mixed up about that. And you know who's going to take care of us tomorrow? The same God who takes care of us right now and today and down through the ages. He's watched over his children, and he will not forsake you nor leave you. Sometimes we get like Jonah. We want to run our way, and that's why he tells us that we should fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Some people are worried about, "I'm going to miss heaven." That's not talking about heaven. That's talking about the rest you get in the gospel right now. You know you've missed that sometimes. I've had a reason to be at rest all the time, but I haven't been at rest all the time, because there have been times I just didn't trust him. Now that sounds like, "Well, I couldn't be there," but that's where I am. Listen, that's where I am. God is on his throne, and he's God. And he said these promises to me, and he's never lied or taken back anything that he's ever promised. And I can count on him and his word to be sure all the time, every time, all the way to the end, even unto death. He says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people." So how does he have people? He made his people. And you're identified as people because he made you his people. You belong to him. And the sheep of his pasture. You did Jesus die for? He died for the sheep. How many of the sheep are going to get home? All of them. How many of his sheep does he love? All of them. How many of them will be separated from his love? None of them. And they're his because he chose them. And they'll forever be his because he loved them, and nothing can separate them from his love. And Jesus proved that in dying on the cross and paying the sin debt, and he died for his sheep, and the price has been paid, so God is still just. Even though we are sinners, Jesus paid the sin debt. For sin, the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. He saved me from the wrath that would have been mine, and made me pure by giving me the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that one day we'll be with him in heaven in immortal glory. And while we're here in time, we can rest in him. He says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Jesus Christ, when he finished the work at Calvary, in John chapter 19, he says, it is finished. And then after spending the time that was necessary here on this earth to prove that he was the resurrected Savior, he ate with his disciples, he walked with them, they handled him to prove that he was indeed the Son of God. And after that time was completed, Jesus, who had finished the work of redemption, arose and went back unto the Father. That same Jesus went away into the clouds, and he went and sat down on the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. And he's seated there today. He completed the work. He finished the work. And this verse is all about him. For he that is entered into his rest. Jesus entered into his rest. You know why Jesus is that high priest seated now on the right hand of the Father? Because the work of the high priest is complete, and he's finished the work, and it never has to be done again. The work of the high priest in the Old Testament was never complete. That's why there was no seat in the tabernacle for him to sit down. There was no place to sit down, because it was not going to be complete until the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, came and offered himself a perfect sacrifice for the sin of his people. And once he did that, listen, he did the work perfectly. Just like God created the earth perfectly. And once he made this world perfectly, after the sixth day he made it, and on the seventh day he rested. You know why he rested? He wasn't tired. He was finished. He finished creation. And he signified that and sanctified that as the Sabbath to recognize the finished work that God did in the creation. And when Jesus finished the work at Calvary, what did he do? He ascended back up on high. And what a glorious day that was when he entered into heaven and took his place on the right hand of the Father and sat there to make intercession for his people. And he sat down there on that throne with the Father, signifying that his work was finished. You and I can rest today in that finished work. We don't add to that work. He did the work. We just rest in that work. He said, for he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works. Did Jesus have works? Yes. He healed the sick. He caused the blind to see. He unstopped deaf ears. He preached the gospel. He walked here in the shores of time. He lived his life. He walked as a man. He did everything that was necessary that we might be made like unto him. He had to become our right. He was our righteousness. He walked righteously. He kept the law to a jot and to a tittle. He didn't miss a mark. He didn't miss a thing. He did it all. And when he died on the cross, he offered himself, and he was a perfect sacrifice, which means he did everything that was necessary. He didn't miss a thing. And our rest and our peace is in him and his finished work. And to really say that you can do something to add to that is really, it's a horrible thing to say. Because the work that he did was a complete, finished work, and you can't add to the works of God. He said, he said, for he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own work as God did from his. And in verse 11, we'll just close with that tonight. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. That means I got a battle to fight. You're fighting that battle too right now, aren't you? Some days I feel that peace and that rest. It's just so real to me. I think I'll never not feel it again. And then I'll get a little bit of news. Maybe the phone will ring. I'll get a text message and here comes another little problem and I'll start getting all in trouble again. Because there's nobody else here that does that but me. Am I the only one that has that problem? Or is that really all of us? You get that next report. How many times does the text go off and I go to Sharon and I say, is that good news or is that bad news? Guess what? Most of the time it's not good news. In this old world, you're going to have a lot of bad news. A lot of tough times. A lot of things your family's going to go through. A lot of things you're going to face when these little ones growing up. A lot of things that happen. You know that already, don't you? Have happened, continue to happen. A lot of things happen to God's little children around you. You don't want it to happen to any of them. You want them all just real. But we're not in control of that. But I'm telling you tonight, you and I have a reason to rest. Because our God is in control of that. And that doesn't mean things won't happen. It just means in Him, it'll be all right. In Him, the storm will be all right. Even the storm might bring them and will bring them out stronger as they trust in the Lord than they were before and allow them to see things they didn't see before. Little Sister Martha shared with me recently that every miracle begins with a problem. You know, and I thought about that. And when she first said it, I said, well, that sounds pretty good, but didn't think about it much. But you know, that's true. We don't want the problem. But everyone you ever see delivered in a miraculous way in the scripture had a problem. And the bigger the problem, the greater the miracle. I've had some problems and you've had them too. I know some of your problems. I don't know them like the Lord knows them, but I know a lot of them. And God's been good to y'all. He's been good to us. He's been right there in the storm and in the battle. And we're not done yet until we get home. But we've got the same rest that the Old Testament saints had, that the New Testament saints had, that the Lord has given us because we have the same Savior. The next verses, and I'm not going to get to them tonight, but the next verses talk about Jesus. They call Him the Word of God, but that's exactly who He is. It's not the Bible that it's talking about. It's talking about the living Logos, the eternal Son of God, the eternal Word of God. And it's talking about who He is and why He's so powerful and great and wonderful. And because of that, tonight, you and I should labor to enter into that rest. How do we do that? We pray. We attend the house of God. We read His Word. We encourage one another. And we remind one another when we get off the track to the brethren, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And I'm sure glad we have a rock tonight higher than us, don't you? And I've said it before, sometimes we get to thinking of another human as our rock. And whether that human is the dearest person on this earth to you, they're not your rock. They may be like a rock to you that the Lord's given you to help you along the way, but I'm telling you, your rock goes far, is far bigger than that and far greater. We've got a rock unlike any other rock. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can count on that solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. I'm not done, but I'm going to quit. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. We love you.
Three twenty-five.